Well, I heard a while back about a lady who was leading a third grade small group one Sunday morning, and she was teaching on heaven. And she asked her class at one point, okay, now boys and girls, can you get to heaven by being good? All the boys and girls said, no. She says, well, can you get to heaven by just going to church? And they said, no. And she said, can you get to heaven by being better than your friends? And they said, no. And she said, well, boys and girls, how do you get to heaven? And one little boy stood up in the back of the class and he said, you gotta be dead. Which, in a sense, is true, right? And so we're talking about heaven. And we're in our third week on this series. We started actually talking about hell, talking about what God delivers us from and the opposite of heaven and kind of an awareness of the eternal state with those who don't know the Lord or don't believe in the Lord Jesus. And last week we talked about the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, his visible global return that will inaugurate the millennial reign and then the eternal state. And today we're going to talk about the eternal state and for the next couple of weeks talk about what heaven is going to be like, what the eternal state is going to be like. And that little boy had it right. For most people, you have to die to go to heaven and come back with the Lord. There will be a generation, however, on the earth at the return of Jesus, and that will be the exception to the rule. But there is an eternal state waiting for everyone, right? Either in heaven or hell. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about heaven and talk about what the Bible has to say about this dynamic of the eternal state, the place we call heaven, really the new heavens and the new earth. And just as a reminder, if you have questions about heaven, text them to us anytime throughout the service today or throughout the week for that matter. Something comes to mind on Tuesday, just text us. The last week of the series, I'll actually answer the questions that have come in, and we'll have a really neat discussion with some of our pastors that day, and then we'll have an extended podcast that will be available to you as well. The number you'll see here on the screen is 813-491-1900, all right? So at any point today, tomorrow, throughout the week, feel free to send in your questions. Today, hopefully I'll cover some of the issues that would be pertinent for you as we begin a two-week dive into the specific aspects of the new heavens and the new earth. And here's what I want you to understand today. This is the key takeaway to kind of guide our time over the next couple of weeks. I just want you to understand our hope is tied to heaven, okay? That's really our key takeaway. Our hope is tied to heaven. In other words, the things that we're gonna talk about today and next week are not just discussion points for the curious, or they're not just, you know, takeaways that we might want to delve into with curiosity around the water cooler and, oh, well, who knows? No. Like, what we're talking about has a significance in our lives because heaven and the new heavens, new earth, okay, are presented to us in God's word to give us hope. Hope in this life during the days and the seasons when things are really, really tough, hope that there is a better day coming, there are better bodies coming, there is an eternity coming, and for God's children, that is good. It may surprise you to learn that the book of Revelation is the favorite book of the Bible among the persecuted church around the world. People who are under heavy persecution look to the book of Revelation, not just for curiosity or, you know, discussion points throughout the week of things that seem rather interesting to them. No, you know what? For those who are persecuted, the book of Revelation is a means of tremendous hope. And that's what it should be for you and me too. Today, as we're talking about heaven, and next week, as we're talking about the details of heaven and what it's gonna be, the new heavens and a new earth, I just want you to understand all of this is set in the context of hope, okay? Our hope is tied to heaven. Our hope is tied to the reality that this world is not all there is, and Jesus came to redeem us from this world and the curse of this world so that we might spend eternity with him in a much better place. And so as we think about heaven, I want to lay out two aspects today and at least three next week, okay? We'll take a couple weeks on this, but there's two really important aspects today of heaven. Got a lot of scripture for you, so buckle up. Here we go. First of all, I want you to understand, okay, this is the most important dynamic of heaven that the Bible presents to us. It is a place of renewal, okay? So if you're taking notes, write that down. Heaven is a place of renewal. That's a key word you want to be thinking of when you think of heaven. Now, heaven is a place of renewal. Let me actually just start with the first part of that phrase, heaven is a place. I want you to understand, if you're new to the Bible, you're new to Christianity, heaven is an actual place. In other words, what awaits us in the future is an actual place. We're not just gonna be spirits floating around on clouds with harps and harmonicas and whatever else you might find interesting in some spiritual existence. No, I want you to understand, no, Jesus is preparing a place. We're going to live in a place, the new heavens, the new earth, an actual place that we will populate, okay? Heaven is a place. It's a place of renewal, but it's a place. Jesus said this in John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home for all of you," right? "If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" A place. Not a spiritual existence, not floating around on clouds, not just hanging out randomly in the air. No, Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place so that where I am, you will be with me." So heaven is a place, and here's what we learn, it's a place of renewal. All right, it's not some fanciful existence that's beyond the measure of what we can anticipate here. Without question, it will be different, it will be better, it will be glorious. It will be a heightened existence from what we know now, but it's not going to be completely different in terms of how we live. Let me prove this to you. Okay, first of all, write this down. Heaven is a place of renewal, meaning, first of all, the earth is renewed. Okay, the earth is renewed. So what the Bible presents to us is a heaven that is a renewed earth. That's why you'll hear me talk about, and you'll see the scripture talk about, a new heaven and a new earth, kind of combined, right? Like it's the same place. It's a place, and it's a new place, but it's more of a renewed place than something that's brand new, never known before, okay? So it's a renewed, kind of like Eden, if you will, where we dwell with God and each other, okay? So the earth is renewed. Isaiah 65 says this. This may be of interest to you to see that it's not just the New Testament that talks about this. God gave a word about the new heavens and new earth even to the prophets of old. Isaiah wrote this. "Look," the Lord says, "I'm creating new heavens and a new earth." There it is, together, new heavens and new earth. "And no one will even think about the old ones anymore." Which, by the way, is an indication that we're not going to be living in the new heavens and new earth with some type of regret. Like none of us are going to be in the new heaven and new earth like, "Oh, man, I sure do miss Anna Maria Island. Man, it'd be so cool to go back." Like none of us is going to be lamenting in the new heavens and the new earth, okay? None of us are going to be sitting there like, "Man, you know what I could go for right now? Some Cracker Barrel." You know, like that's... Man, that'd be so good. You could do some shopping and eat at the same time. It's the best case. Like, nobody's going to be in the new heavens, new earth, lamenting what they don't have. Okay, so Isaiah says, okay, the Lord's saying through the prophet Isaiah, "Look, I'm creating," God says, "I'm going to be creating a new heavens and a new earth." Same thing, right? And you won't even think about the old anymore. Like, it's going to be so amazing. Like, nobody's going to be lamenting or regretting or anything like that. So here's what he says. "Be glad and rejoice forever in my creation," a new creation. "And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people. And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more." Now, John, in the vision that God gave him, says something very similar. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 1, look at this. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Again, don't be thinking about some spiritual existence we're floating around on clouds or whatever. No, no, no. This is a place. New heaven, new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. Peter says, 2 Peter 3, it will be destroyed by fire. This is new to us, okay? But it's not going to be radically different in the sense that we're just kind of floating around as spirit beings. No, 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 no. No, the old heaven and old earth are gone. The sea was also gone. And John says, "Then I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. And he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no crying, no death, no sorrow or pain. All of these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" Now, let me break down for you what John says here in Revelation 21 that's so unique. In the original language, the language in which Revelation was given to us, written originally, okay, there are two words for new. Both translated, of course, new in English, okay, but there's two different words that we could translate new. One has the idea of new in time. The other has the idea of new in kind or quality. And we would better translate that renewed. In fact, there are places in the Bible, like in Colossians 3, where those two different words actually appear in the same verse. One translated new, the second translated renewed. John uses the second word, renewed, in Revelation 21. So here's what John is saying. The new heavens and the new earth are better understood as a renewed heavens and a renewed earth in this way. They're not new in terms of time, right? They're not new in terms of something radically different. No, they're new in terms of kind or quality. So here's kind of the best analogy I can give you, okay? Like, let's just say you have a 57 Chevy, which many of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That is a car. It's a famous car. It's a valuable car. So let's just say you have a 1957 Chevy, and it is a car, right? But it's got some rust spots and, you know, the interior's kind of torn up or whatever. So what do? You restore it. You renew it so that when you drive it around town, it looks brand new, not because it's new in time, because it's new in kind or quality. Are you with me? The parts are new. The fabric is new, right? The steering wheel is new, but it's still a 1957 Chevy. Now, here's what Revelation's telling us. God is going to make a new heavens and a new earth that's new in kind and quality. But it's a renewed earth. It's a renewed heaven. Heaven and earth, of course, together in the sense that it's like a restored Eden where we're with the Lord personally. We're with other believers, as we'll see here in a moment. And so we think of heaven not as some pie in the sky, like spiritual existence floating around with harps and wings. No, 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 no. Heaven is a place, and it's a renewed place that is better understood as a renewed earth. Okay? And it is such because God will completely reverse the curse that we live under now. See, the world is broken today because we live under the curse of sin. And this curse literally impacts every single thing about our existence. It impacts our lives. It impacts our bodies. It impacts the ground on which we walk. It impacts the cosmos. It impacts everything. And let me show you Revelation 22, verse 3. This is so, so cool, okay? Part of the reason is the new heavens and new earth will be new in kind and quality because God is preparing a place, are you ready for this? Where there is no curse. Here's what John says. There will no longer be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there and his servants will worship him. God in the new heavens and the new earth is gonna reverse the curse. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the curse, it goes all the way back to the day when man and woman rebelled against God, where mankind selfishly, pridefully turned against God. And let me show you the result of that. Here's what God said to the man at that time. Since you listened to your wife, right? The two were in this together, and you ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is what? Cursed because of you. And all of your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. And it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you'll have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Boy, you're gonna work hard. Anybody feeling that this week? Your work's gonna be frustrated. People, problems, issues. I mean, it's always something, right? Like the Lord's like, Adam, this is the curse. You're gonna make your living from the ground. Like, you're gonna be able to make your living here. But you're under a curse, and the land is under a curse, and all of creation is under this curse. It impacts everything about your existence, right? And eventually, because of the curse, you're going to return to the ground from which you were taken, right? Paul talked about this in Romans 8. Let me show you what Paul says here. He says, all creation, right? Not just people who inhabit the earth, but the earth itself. All creation is eagerly waiting for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. The land itself, the world, the universe, man, we have natural disasters and disease and tragedy. The world is broken. And so Paul says all of creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, right? As in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And so here's what's so important to understand. We think about heaven. This is the first aspect we're covering today. Heaven is a place of renewal. Newness in kind, newness in quality. First of all, the earth is renewed. And it's renewed because the curse is reversed and God is going to make a new or renewed heavens and earth together that's free of this curse, and it will be free of the curse for all eternity. Let me tell you what that means. No more disasters. No more dysfunction, no more frustrated work. All that we do will be fruitful and fulfilling. So heaven is a place of renewal. First of all, the earth is renewed. Secondly, write this down. This is super cool. Our bodies are renewed. Our bodies are renewed. You see, the earth is under a curse. Our bodies are under a curse, right? Father time is undefeated. This curse impacts all of us, and that's why we return to the ground from which we were made, and there's coming a day when not just the earth will be renewed, but our bodies will be renewed, and we will receive glorified bodies that will live with Jesus for all eternity. Paul talks about this in Romans 8. It's not just the ground that's cursed, it's our bodies. He says this, and so we believers also groan, just like creation does, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too, Paul says, we too, along with creation, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We will have new bodies that are compatible with the new earth. Philippians 3 says this, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. For we grow weary in our present bodies. Can I get a word of testimony? All right, come on now. We grow weary in our earthly bodies. Everybody outside of their 20s and 30s said yes there, okay? We grow weary in our life. They're under the curse. They're not going to live forever. They're susceptible to disease and death. So Paul says, no, but there's coming a day, right, when as we grow now weary in our human bodies, we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, he says, and we will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, right? So that these dying bodies we swallowed up by life, God himself has prepared us for this and is a guarantee he's given us his Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Heaven is a place of renewal. The earth will be renewed, new heavens, new earth, new in kind, new in quality, and our bodies will be renewed. Because again, Father Time is undefeated. Our bodies are under the curse, and the older we get, the more we feel the effects of that curse, right? That's what Paul's saying, and we long for that day when we'll have those glorified bodies. We'll put them on like new clothing, he says, right? They'll be made by the Lord. They'll be eternal in nature, just like Jesus's glorified body after his resurrection. Those are the types of bodies we get. And I look forward to that. Like, listen, I still think of myself, right? Like a lot of you, like, still think of like the people I hang out with, like, you know, like I'm in a young adult life group. And some of you are 457 years old. And you're like, oh, I'm in a young adult life group too, right? Like there's just something mentally for a lot of us, we're like, we're always gonna be like, that's what we feel like mentally. Oh yeah, I'm in that young adult category. And I'm really not in a young adult category anymore. And I have weird things that happen to me. Like, I'm not kidding you, okay? Even as I'm preparing for this message, this is the absolute truth. For the past 3 days, I've woken up every day and my left knee's hurting. And my wife treats me like I'm 24. Well, honey, what did you do? I don't know. Well, I played tennis the other day, and did you hurt yourself? No. Did you have to stop the match? No. Did it hurt afterward? No. I just woke up and it hurts. Well, you big baby, stop crying to me about it, right? And I get up the next day, man, my knee still hurts. I don't know what's wrong. You know what's wrong? I'm old. Or I'm getting old, and you're getting old, and there's a lot in the Bible about us getting old, and our bodies are under the curse, and the older we get, the more we feel that curse, and we have, you know, disease, and we have untimely death, and we all are staring at some point in time death in the face. Like our bodies are under the curse, right? And here's part of our hope. Heaven is about renewal. The earth is renewed and our bodies are renewed. And so let me give you a couple things about our glorified bodies, our renewed bodies, that will be true of heaven, okay? And this may answer a few of the questions that you have. First of all, okay, we will recognize each other in our glorified bodies. Now, I don't know what age we're gonna be. I'm kind of thinking 24, 25 is the sweet spot. Are you with me on that? That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I don't know, okay? I don't know, but we'll have glorified bodies and we will recognize each other. So let me prove this to you. Luke 24, after the resurrection of Jesus, okay, Jesus now post-resurrection in his glorified body, I just want you to see this, is recognized. He's known. He's not in some form that's unrecognizable or weird. No, no, no. Heaven is a place occupied by people, renewed earth, renewed bodies. We will recognize each other. So Jesus said this, Luke 24, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? And look what Jesus says here. Just check out my hands. Look at my feet. Look at the scars. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, and you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and he showed them his feet. Okay, let me take you back to the transfiguration when Peter and we see here James and John are with Jesus at the moment of transfiguration. Matthew 17, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, he led them up to a high mountain to be alone. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. And Peter's like, oh, this is awesome. Of course, Peter speaks up. Interrupts, Lord, this is awesome to be here. Hey, if you'd like, I can make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, what's my point? Peter recognized Moses and Elijah. Like they didn't appear as some super spiritual, weird beings with wings and halos. No. They were recognizable. They were in human form, okay? And we have an indication here that in the eternal state, we will recognize each other. We will know one another. And I don't know if we're gonna have belly buttons. I don't know what age we're gonna be, so to speak. okay? But I know that we're gonna recognize each other, and that'll be an aspect of our new bodies. Again, we're not gonna be something radically different than we are now. It's a renewal of kind and quality. Secondly, make a note of this, we will be able to function normally as human beings with glorified bodies. All right, so notice, let me take you back again, post-resurrection, Luke 24, notice as those with Jesus are looking at him, check this out, they're kind of still in disbelief, Luke tells us, and they were filled with joy and wonder, like, I cannot believe Jesus actually, he's raised from the dead. And so Jesus says, well, do you have anything to eat? hey boys, how about some Chick-fil-A? And they're like, Jesus, you chose to be resurrected on Sunday. They're not open. And so Jesus is like, what else do you have, right? And look at this. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. What did Jesus do in his resurrected body, in his glorified body? He was recognized by others, and he ate. He did normal human things because he's a human being. So heaven is a place of renewal. It's a renewed earth. We will have renewed bodies. These bodies, listen, we're going to recognize other people. We'll be able to function normally. Jesus says in Luke 22, right? He says, just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my coming kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to eat. Okay, now I think we'll have a heightened experience. I think there's some really cool things we'll be able to do in the new heavens and earth that we can't do now because we're under the curse. But at the very least, the scripture teaches us that we will recognize each other. We will function normally. That's why Randy Alcorn in his great book on heaven said, God's intention for humans was that we would occupy the whole earth and reign over it. This dominion would produce God-exalting societies in which we would exercise the creativity, imagination, intellect, and skills befitting beings created in God's image, thereby manifesting his attributes. In other words, we're gonna operate as human beings. Tim Keller said this, heaven is not so much pie in the sky as it is feast on earth. All right? And so let me give you a third, final aspect of these glorified bodies, of these renewed bodies. We will live forever. We will live forever. Our bodies will no longer fail us and break down. You're not gonna wake up one day and your knee hurts. There's not gonna be more disease. There's no susceptibility to weakness. No, heaven is a renewed place. It's a renewed earth with renewed bodies, right? Where we will know each other, we'll function in a similar capacity, although I believe a heightened capacity. And then listen, we're gonna live with the Lord forever. I thought about showing you a picture of what I think our glorified bodies are gonna look like. It was actually a picture of Fabio, who again, many of you have no idea who that is. Let me tell you why I didn't. Because when I actually Googled Fabio. First time in my life, I Googled Fabio. And you know what came up? A picture of Fabio I was not expecting. That dude getting old. And no offense, Fabio, if you're watching today, we're thrilled to have you worshiping with us here at Bell Shoals. But dude getting old. In the first picture that came up, I was like, ugh. That's, and I had to keep scrolling, like to young Fabio. And I'm like, that's what our glorified bodies are gonna look like. But like, if you haven't noticed, you know, again, these bodies aren't forever. And what the scripture teaches us is that we will know each other. I think we'll function in a relatively similar capacity, although a heightened capacity. And then listen, we're gonna live forever. This is the hope that we have. So I love this, Isaiah 65, again, a prophecy given to Isaiah. No longer, I love this. Boy, isn't this good? This ought to get you a little excited, all right? It's okay to get excited in church. No longer will babies die when they're only a few days old. And no longer will adults die before they've lived a full life. Isn't that good news? And no longer will people be considered old at 100. I mean, we can be walking around, hey, isn't this great? New bodies, new earth, renewed. This is great. Hey, I'm like 547 years old. You're just getting started. You can be in the young adult life group. It's going to be great, right? I mean, I love this prophecy, right? There's no untimely death, you guys. How good is that? The curse is gone. It impacts The earth is a renewed earth, and it impacts our bodies. We get renewed bodies, glorified bodies. Let me take you back to Isaiah, right? He says, in those days, look at this, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Again, we're living, we're eating, we're working. We're gonna show you that next week. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards, for my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. Our bodies will be made for eternity, renewed, new, better in kind and quality, right? There is no aging. There is no weakness. There is no disease. There is no death. And we praise the Lord for that. That's part of our hope. So what is heaven? Okay, first big category you got to get. Heaven is a place of renewal. Earth is renewed. Our bodies are renewed. And then secondly, okay, this is all we're going to cover today. Heaven is a place of reunion. All right, so make a note of this. Heaven is a place of reunion. And this is like a huge part of what the Bible has to say about heaven. Okay, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 8. Check this out. I tell you this, many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. There's a reunion. We're gonna know each other. And then Paul says this, I showed you this last week, talking about the second coming of Jesus, but really, remember, this is given to us to encourage us as a people who live under the curse. Paul says this, he says, I got this word directly from Jesus. He and I had this conversation. Let me tell you what he told me. We who are still living when he returns will not meet him ahead of those who've died before us. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. The believers who have died will rise from their graves. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. And please do not neglect the last part of this verse. So we should encourage one another with these words. Amen. Death is not the end. There is a reunion coming. Isn't that good news? Amen. It's good news. Trust me. It's good. One of our sound guys didn't think so. It is. It's good news. It's good news. 4 years ago, not long after we moved to Belle Shoals, I lost my grandmother, who was a huge influence on my life. I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see her again. I've lost friends prematurely, been with families who have lost children. There's a reunion coming. There's a reunion coming. And some of you right now are thinking about a parent or a sibling or a child or a grandchild. And let me tell you something, there's a reunion coming. You see, the earth is renewed. Our bodies are renewed. Heaven is a place of renewal. It's also a place of reunion. And Paul's like, man, y'all need to encourage each other with these words. There's a reunion coming. Can I tell you the best part about this reunion? No weird uncles. No weird uncles. All right? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No weird uncles. Like for real, this reunion is gonna be just a joyful reunion, and we're gonna recognize each other, and we're gonna, next week we'll talk about, you know, our activities, what we're gonna be doing. But listen, it's gonna be awesome, and I know some of you are like, well, wait a minute, what about the people who know the Lord, but I don't like them, or they've hurt me, or something? Here's the thing, here's what you need to understand, okay? Right now, under the curse, which is our fault, okay, our relationship with God is broken. Now, listen to me very, very carefully. When your relationship with God is broken, then your relationship to everything else is broken too. Your relationship with the cosmos is broken. Your relationship with other people is broken. And the reason that there are these other people in your life who have hurt you and wounded you and attacked you is because, guess what? Their relationship with God is broken, and they ain't right in the head. Yeah, all right. And I have a list of names I brought with me today. No, but listen, we all have them, right? Okay, and again, let's just be honest, okay? We probably said and done some hurtful things ourselves because our relationship with God is broken, and sometimes we're selfish and we're prideful and we're dumb and we do and say some things that hurt people. And I know maybe you're thinking, well, wait a minute, when we go to the new heavens and new earth and we got our glorified bodies, we're in this renewed heavens and earth, but what about all these people I don't really like or get along with? Well, here's the thing. All of our relationships with God are gonna be fully restored. So our relationships with everyone else is fully restored. We will all bow the knee before Jesus. We will all confess that he is Lord. We will all give an account for the good and the bad we've done. And we will all humbly agree that Christ is Lord and we're gonna serve and honor him for all eternity. And therefore, in the new heavens and the new earth, in this place of reunion, like there are no hard feelings because our relationship with God is right and our relationship with each other is right. Like all those people right now, you're like, how are they gonna make it? Well, they're gonna be different in heaven, right? And it's a place of reunion. It's a place where we're gonna do some things to talk about next week. It's gonna be awesome, okay? But let me break this down quickly. Two aspects of this reunion you have to understand. Number one, it's a reunion of people. Okay, the reunion is a reunion of people. Now, this may surprise some of you. The second most popular question coming in about heaven is whether or not we will share heaven with our pets, which is a great question. And I know many of you don't know me well. Let me just tell you, I love pets. Had cats and dogs growing up. More of a dog person than a cat person. I'm gonna save all my, I got a lot of good cat owner jokes. I'm gonna save it, okay? Whether you're dog, cats, rabbit, gerbils, snakes, hamsters. In other words, whether you're normal or weird. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say, all right? I just want you to know, man, I love dogs, okay? I'm more of a dog person. I love dogs. I've had dogs all my life. And let me tell you how much I love dogs, okay? When I met my wife, who wasn't my wife, she was just some smoking hot senior in college. And I thought she could probably use my friendship. And so we had a legitimate friendship. And let me tell you, y'all gonna like this. This was my strategy to get her to like me beyond a friend, okay? I thought, I'm gonna take, this is how old I am, I had to take actual printed photographs of my dog. And I thought, I'm gonna show her my dog because that will melt her heart. I mean, what woman in her right mind does not like a man who loves dogs? So one day we're studying together in the library and I was ready and I had this little picture photo book, it's the only way we could do it at the time, of my dogs. I'm like, hey baby, check this out. Mm-hmm. That's me and my dog. I'm like, her heart's gonna melt. Oh, she's so cute, you are so sweet. Will you marry me? That is not what happened because I learned that day, tragically, my wife doesn't like dogs. And I am a moron. Because I thought every person loves dogs. She didn't like dogs. And she doesn't like cats. Or gerbils, or hamsters, or snakes, or lions, or tigers, or bears. Oh my is right. Because trust me. And she was like, and I'm like, oh no. Put it in reverse. Anyway, I just thought you might want to see pictures of my dog. How's it going? You know, and I'm like, and you're like, well, how did you end up getting her to marry you? I don't know. I think she felt so sorry for me. She's like, if I don't marry this guy, ain't nobody gonna marry him. So thank you, honey. All right, so I love dogs. And let me tell you something. It's taken me 25 years, but I finally convinced my beautiful wife to let us have a dog in the house. It took me 25 years, but I wore her down. That's exactly right. And so let me introduce to you, Cece. Oh, she's so good. I'll be home soon, baby. I'll be home soon. Oh, I love her. Listen, everybody in my house name starts with a C. She is so special. She got two C's. She is Cece. You know what I'm saying? Oh, she's, I love her. I love her. Oh man, she like, you're like, what does Pastor do when he gets home? I bet he fasts and doesn't, no. I go get Cece. I can't wait. She looks all over my face, and I'm so happy. And then I go try to give my wife a kiss, and she's like, you ever try that one? That doesn't work. All right, so I'm just saying, I'm with you guys. Like, okay, pet, I love, and I know, like, you know, pets help with anxiety. They relieve stress, and even non-pets, right? Like, I've traveled the world. Like, I've been to Africa, and literally, I held lion cubs in my lap. You know, it was awesome, and I love seeing God's creation, and it's just awesome. Okay, but now here's the question we have to ask. Okay, here's the heart of the question. Is there a difference between my dog and my daughter? Don't answer that out loud. Somebody's like, nope. I've met your kids. I like your dog a lot better. Okay, I get it. All right, so, okay, but is there a difference? Okay, and you say, well, of course there's a difference. You know, your child was born to you. Your child has your children, have your DNA. Okay, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Okay, of course there's a difference between my children and my puppy. And here's the difference biblically, okay? The difference is my children possess the image of God, my dog does not. Now here's what that means. My children as human beings made in the image of God have a sense of what we call consciousness. Now think about this, that no other created being has other than human beings. My children contemplate eternity. My children have a moral compass. My children have an awareness of things that no other created being does. And even the most renowned atheists have no viable theories on why human beings have consciousness when other created beings do not. But I can tell you today, I'm not a scientist, but I am a theologian. I can tell you today definitively why human beings are different from animals. We have the image of God. The image of God is consciousness. Some refer to it as a soul. There's something different about humanity. In other words, a lion that kills an antelope in Africa for lunch does not sit over the antelope and eat thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? There's no moral consciousness. There's no contemplation of eternity. There's no morality. You say, what brings about human consciousness? What we might refer to as a soul, okay? The image of God. And now I want you to understand, okay, and I say this respectfully because I love my pets and I love animals and I've been with lions and all kinds of cool things over the years and I love it. They bear, you know, the glory of God and his creative power. But here's the thing, here's what I need you to understand. Eternity is reserved for those who have the image of God. Let me say it to you this way. Jesus died for his fellow image bearers. And so pets and animals and other created beings are to be enjoyed and stewarded well. We exercise dominion over them and over the earth. But in terms of, okay, a current existence echoing into a future existence, that's only reserved for humanity. Now, will God have created beings in the eternal state? Maybe. That's God can do whatever God wants to do. But in terms of those or people that we lose now that we'll see and share eternity with in the future, in terms of this reunion that we anticipate in the future, I want you to understand the reunion is reserved for people because people have the image of God. David says this. Let me go to Psalm 8, all right? Let me go to Psalm 8. I want to show you Psalm 8 here quickly. This is David reflecting on just the uniqueness of mankind. He says, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. God, I'm so overwhelmed that you have such an interest in us. You made us only a little lower than God and you crowned them, us, with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks, the herds, the animals, the birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, everything that swims in the ocean currents, right? Mankind is different. God, you've made us just a little lower than you. Like we have a glory that no other created being has. Mankind is unique because we're made in the image of God. We have a soul. We have a consciousness no other created being has. And therefore, as God's image bearers, we are made to live with him forever, which is why I told you 2 weeks ago, every person lives forever somewhere. Believers, those of us who know Jesus, and that's my encouragement to you today, is to look to Jesus for salvation and eternal life. Listen, we have coming for us in the future a reunion. It's a reunion of people whereby we will share eternity with the Lord. That's what we're created for. That's what we're made for. And so let me say just one more thing on this quickly, okay? Because the whole pet thing, I totally understand. But the concern for me is this. We live in a day and a time that is elevating animal life at an equal level as human life. And I just want you to understand, any attempt to devalue human life is an attack on the image of God that we bear. And what I want you to understand today, okay, listen to me. Here's what I want you to understand. I'm not minimizing the joy of our pets and animals and just, man, appreciating all that God has made. I'm maximizing the image of God in you because you are special and you are unique and you bear the image of God and Jesus Christ died for you to spend eternity with him. And my concern, and the reason I emphasize this part of the reunion, it's a reunion of people, is so that we understand, okay, there's a big difference between human life and every other life form. And I hope that that'll encourage you today to know that your life matters. You are radically different than a tree. You're radically different than the most beautiful puppy, and I happen to own the most beautiful puppy. You matter. And Jesus died for you. So it's a reunion, okay, of people. And then lastly, close up shop here on this today. It's a reunion of believers, okay? I've spoken of that. It's a reunion of believers. So listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never turned from your sin, you've never embraced him in saving faith, that's what you need to do today. Because I know we like to say, well, you know, he or she's in a better place. No, the only hope of reunion is for those who know and love Jesus. And for those of you who do know and love Jesus today, I want you to understand Jesus died for your sin because you're made in his image. This reunion that's coming on the renewed heavens and earth with renewed bodies, right, is coming for you and me because of the fact that Christ has secured our future. And that ought to encourage you today. If your work is frustrated, if your body is breaking down, if it's failing you, if you've lost a loved one recently, if you're facing a difficult circumstance, if someone's let you down or wounded you, listen, here's our hope today. There is a better day coming. There is a better place coming. There is a better body coming. There is a better relational dynamic coming, okay? And there is a reunion coming when we will gather with all the saints from every generation and we will worship Jesus. We will serve Jesus and we will have joy in our activities. And there are gonna be a lot of awesome things we're doing. We'll talk about some more of those next week. But I want you to understand, this is our hope. So that whatever you face this week, no, this world is not all there is. There's a renewal coming and there's a reunion coming, and let that ground your hope this week no matter what you face. This world is not all there is. David said when he lost his son tragically, he can't come back to me, but I will go to him. There's a reunion coming. There's a better place, a better body. There's sweet fellowship in this heaven. We know it's a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells forever. And if we can help you get connected, we'd love to do that, all right? And so let me ask you to stand. Let me pray for us as we're dismissed today. And my prayer for you this week is that you'll be encouraged in these truths as one who is fearfully and wonderfully made to spend eternity with your maker and your savior. So let's pray. God, thank you for these encouraging truths that you've given us. Thank you for giving us some of these details of our future. And Father, I know that you've given them to us so that our hope might be steady. Lord, it might be ongoing and we might tether our hearts to you. So no matter what we face today, I pray that these truths would encourage us, would sustain us. I know that's what you intend them to do. And Father, with David, we say, What is man that you're mindful of us? God, we're overwhelmed that you've made us in your image and you've sent your son to die for us. God, that there is a hope for all of us. And I pray that we would persist in that. And God, just glorify you in that until the day when Christ returns. And we pray that that would be in our generation. But if not, God, we look forward to the day when we, with glorified bodies, will rule and reign with you, have sweet fellowship with all of your people from every generation. And God, we will worship and serve you forever. And so may this hope sustain us in the week to come. We ask it and we pray it in Jesus' name.